Hello, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. How are you all doing today? Welcome to my show. Spirits can exist on the sun. I changed it from God is on the sun to that because I'd like everyone to know, basic knowledge, you have a spirit in your body, right? It's also known as an astral body. When you sleep and dream, remember the dreams you've had? Your eyes were closed, but you still saw, right? Those are the eyes of the spirit. And the spirit is made of light energy. And guess where the source of light energy is for our solar system? The sun, right? It's a world on fire, very special fire, nuclear fire, the fire of God. And the spirit in our body can exist in fire, whether it's the fire of hell down below the surface of the earth or up there in the sky in that world of fire. I say it's heaven. That's what it is. Spirits can exist there, and the spirit, mother, and father are also there. That's where Jesus is, too. That's where all the people who have died and gone to heaven. That's where they are. And also, we are co-creator gods in the making. That's why we're here on earth, to develop spiritually. You know, I was just telling Doug that I participated in the Toastmasters meeting today. It was training for officers. They have it twice a year. It lasted from 1 to 5, 4 hours. And it was good stuff. But for me, you know, I'm 65 years old. My mother was a mystic. She put me on the path of spiritual development. And I'll tell you this. I've told you before, if you listen to my show, there's one reason and one reason only why we're here on earth. And that is to develop ourselves spiritually. No other reason. If you can die, I mean that in a good way, okay? If you can die, you're a co-creator God in the making. That's why you're here. If you have a brain and a heart, you're a co-creator God in the making. So welcome to my show. Things are going to go really fast. We've got a guest today. Her name is Vivian Chateau. She's an intergalactic healer. She'll be coming on about 6:15. If anybody joined the show who was at the Toastmasters training today, welcome. There's a lot of other really great shows on BBS Radio, Station 1 and Station 2. It's all about spirituality, love, angels, heaven, near-death experiences, extraterrestrials, you name it. They've got it. And many thanks to BBS Radio for all that they do, all the shows. If you want to get your own show, if you're passionate about a subject, go ahead and do it. Yeah. So I'm going to change subjects quick and fast here. I hope you join me for the rest of the way up until 7 o'clock. 1 hour goes by just like that. I've got lots of things to talk about, and I do change subjects quickly. Last week, I talked about the first Jewish people here on Earth that came from another planet. Called Hebra. Hebra, get it? Hebra, Hebrews. Their spaceship broke down. There was 8 of them. There was an explosion when they were trying to repair their spaceship. 3 of them survived. They stuck around that area. When it got warm, they headed south, and they wound up in Israel. On the way, they encountered some difficulties. They had various three weapons. Thing is, they came from a planet of a higher category of evolution, so that's why the Bible, it says that they were the chosen people, because indeed they have a higher level of spirituality, kind of like intelligence, a higher level of intelligence. That's why they've been persecuted throughout the years, like by the Nazis in World War II. That's just one group of people that persecuted them. But throughout all the years, throughout the centuries, Jewish people have been persecuted because blind. Because they are more intelligent, more evolved, more spiritually developed. And so I said, Adam and Eve, a fantasy, myth, not true. Sorry to burst the bubble of anybody out there who's a solid, no deviation kind of Christian type. I consider myself mainly Christian too, but I just don't believe some things in the Bible. And if you want to hear more about what I talked about last week, listen to my show. It's archived on BBS Radio. It talks all about what I mentioned, In other words, it explains what I just said about Adam and Eve. If you're curious, yes. So, also, I have a little point of contention about the Bible in regard to Genesis. Do you know how long it takes to create a solar system? The sun is born. The gases swirl around. They coalesce. A nuclear fire is born in the core of that planet, that heavenly body. It ignites. You have a sun. And then the other planets. It's a process that takes millions of years. And that's just one solar system, not to mention all the other solar systems and galaxies in the universe. So, as I've said before, there is, and by the way, this is my opinion, what I believe in. My reality system was created by learning from other people, piece by piece, like a jigsaw puzzle. Books that I've read over the years. And as I mentioned, I'm 65. I'll be 66 in August. And now not too much else interests me other than to develop myself spiritually as much as possible. Hey, look, people are dying left and right, especially from this COVID-19 virus, right? Hundreds of thousands of people around the world. The time is now to get this right, you know, about who we are, what our mission is here on Earth. The extraterrestrials are out there. They're ready to make contact, but they know that the human being species is a very hostile one because of all the wars we've had in the past. Does anybody disagree with that out there? I didn't think so. World War I and World War II, millions of people were killed. Well, you could say that wasn't me. Well, my father was a soldier in the British Army during World War II. He was at Normandy and Dunkirk. Killed a German, probably killed more than one. He only told me about one. He had PTSD on an incredible level, so to speak. He used to wake up at nighttime swinging. He was an alcoholic to the extreme. He'd wet his bed at night. He wasn't abusive physically, but verbally he was. And I grew up with that. My mother went through the bombing of London. So they were war babies. You know, and they made them bitter. It made them bitter. So, going back to the solar system creation, Genesis says that it was all done in 7 days. That's fantasy. That's not reality. And that's what I try to do in my show is put those words out into the atmosphere. Not only being archived on BBS Radio's website, but also into the atmosphere. No, that's not true. And there's the Big Bang, the beginning of the universe. That's true. And one solar system formed after another until there was enough to fill a galaxy. And then another galaxy began, one solar system after another. And here we are in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, 15 billion light years from the center of the universe. Extraterrestrials are out there. They're waiting to make contact with us, but they're questioning our hostility. They want us to join the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. There's over 26,000 species, extraterrestrial species there. They're looking at us like, these guys are still in kindergarten, you know? And I can tell that with some people. You know, there's a lot of young souls out there. Need to wake up, get with the program. You could die. Tomorrow might not be here for you. But no, you think you're invincible. I was reading about Mr. Trump the other day. I think it was yesterday. With all due respect to our president, I like the man. I've always liked him. I think he's funny. You know, I think he's got a great sense of humor. He's been attacked ever since he's been in power. First, it was the Russian collusion. Then it was the impeachment. Now COVID. How the guy's keeping his sanity, I don't know. But he said something the other day that kind of irked me about Boswell. Ladies and gentlemen, In 1947, flying saucer, I think there was more than one actually, crashed in Roswell. The U.S. Air Force recovered the flying saucers. They also recovered alien bodies. The man who recovered that debris and saw the bodies was an Air Force major. I'm trying to remember his name. You know, I don't plan everything I talk about in advance, so, but I think his name was Meza. But anyway, they got him to recant the story and say it was a Air Force hot weather balloon. And he had to pose by this equipment. Well, it just so happens before he died, at an old age, dying of cancer, he confessed on his deathbed that it really was a flying saucer that they recovered at Roswell. And there were extraterrestrial bodies there. Now, anybody with half a brain knows that a person isn't going to confess on their deathbed if it's not true. So there's evidence of a superior type, of a really convincing type. For those people that want more than that, you're probably never going to learn anyway. You might be atheists, always taking the opposite stance. That's okay, because it helps us to really find out what the truth is. So Mr. Trump said, you've been briefed about Roswell. He said, it's very interesting. Very interesting. That's all he had to say about it. And they asked him if he believed in UFOs. And he said, not particularly. Come on. Where's the courage in our leaders? The home of the brave. Don't we want our leaders to have more courage? You know it's true. You know they exist. You're holding us up in our evolution. I want to meet these ETs. But no, they're afraid. They're concerned. That's probably the more appropriate word, that we're going to try to destroy them if they land. If they land like on the White House's front lawn, like the day the earth stood still, you know, maybe not on the lawn, but close by the White House, you know. And all of the presidents in the past, all the way back to Roswell in 1947, also didn't have the courage to come out and tell the truth, because they say that we can't handle the truth. My friends, there's a good movie, documentary, that you should watch. It's called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind by Dr. Stephen Greer. I'd love to have him on my show. He's one of the most brilliant, intelligent men, I think, in the whole world. Dr. Stephen Greer. Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Watch that movie, please. Also, he did another one called Unacknowledged. And then there's Fast Walkers, too. For the doubting mind that doesn't believe in UFOs and ETs out there, oh my God, how can you not believe in ETs in a universe that's teeming with life? I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. Okay? Here's how it goes. Here's the way to prove logically that they're out there. Okay? You ready? Write this down, please, so you won't forget it. Here on Earth, we have over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish, over 10,000 types of birds, over 10,000 types of reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals, thousands of flowers, thousands of trees, hundreds of fruits and vegetables. Now, if all of this life happened by accident, logically, couldn't it happen by accident anywhere in the universe? But if there is a creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create this life on Earth, wouldn't logically that creator have the same power and knowledge? Have the power and knowledge, right? To create either the same or different life anywhere in the universe? Anywhere?
Vivian.
Vivian. Hi.
Hi.
Blake here. How are you?
Hello, Blake.
Very good. How about you?
I'm all right, thank you. How do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, thank you for asking. My last name says Chauvet.
Chauvet.
Yes, perfect.
Parlez-vous français?
Oui, je parle français.
I lived in Canada. I went to high school there from 69 through 71, did 9th, 10th, and halfway through my 11th grade, my parents pulled me out, and we moved to Guadalajara, Mexico, and I did my 11th and 12th grades there. I had to do 11th grade over because the curriculum was different when I first got there in January of 71. And that was okay by me because I had about 4 or 5 months not doing anything. You know, it was great. Well, glad you called in. Could you please explain to everybody who you are, what you do, what you believe in? Take your time. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yes. I didn't know if you were jumping already into the program. Okay, absolutely. So I'm very happy to be here. My name is Vivian Chauvet, and I am what's called an Arcturian hybrid. And a hybrid means that my mother is human and my biological father is Arcturian, so I am a blend of two different civilizations. Well, the question was what I believe in, which is very vast as a question. But I believe that as a civilization on this earth, that we are finally moving back in a space where we are reclaiming our divine self, and we are returning to a more divine blueprint where we were designed as, in reclaiming also living more in harmony and within the full potential and the full power of who we represent. And if you look at worldwide people evolving consciously and even on a spiritual level, you can tell that people are also awakening in their power, their gift, their ability, and everyone brings such a diversity of gifts, frequency of light, connections, uniqueness of expression. And I think that we are witnessing very important events on the planet right now. So in a nutshell, this is my way of saying hello. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Vivian. Let me ask you something right away. Do you believe in the second coming of Christ?
Well, that's a great question, and the word Christ has different connotations. So the coming of second Christ, I feel like it's more arising within ourselves, within our cosmic heart, within the Christ consciousness that is rising onto the planet, that has probably nothing to do with religion as faction of how we have been taught to believe in the word Christ. But I believe that there is definitely a very important rising of consciousness on the planet. And people are demanding also deeper answers. There are also, I can see that there's working with people worldwide. There is a commonality of reaching out and trusting oneself and trusting higher source to, you know, reach higher level of life. And I can tell that people is also questioning more and more these very old structure that's been put in place, even on the society level, that is no longer supporting who we are coming into. And it's beautiful to witness, and also it creates challenges for all of us. But at the same time, we can tell that we have reached a very important momentum on the planet. And so we are definitely within a really powerful time as we are evolving together and individually and as a collective as well, of course. So thank you so much for asking.
Yes, thank you for that answer. I once read a book, and it's one of my favorite books. I still have the book, actually. It's called The Contact Has Begun. The author is Philip Kraft, K-R-A-P-F. He was an editor on the L.A. Times Metro desk for 25 years, and then he retired. And in his book, he says he was abducted, taken aboard this spaceship called the Goodwill, a mothership behind the moon. And the Verdants is the name of the species. They're the typical kind of gray aliens with either gray or tannish skin, big dark eyes, extremely intelligent. They've been traveling through space for 290 million years. They can, you know, travel from one star system to another in a very quick fashion. You know, they've mastered the art of bending time-space, so to speak. And so he was taken aboard their spaceship for 3 days, and they gave him an indoctrination orientation, showed him around the spaceship, answered his questions. I even communicated with him when I was in my last duty assignment in the Army in Caracas, Venezuela, and we exchanged a few emails. And according to him, and it's in the book, that's what the Verdants do. They come up to uncharted solar systems, and after 290 million years, isn't it incredible to believe that they're still coming upon uncharted solar systems in our universe? The universe is such a big place. And what they do is they set up observation, they monitor these civilizations that are growing, you know, evolving. And when they make the first steps into outer space, then if they're not peaceful, they'll stop them. But the goal is eventually to make contact with them. And they were going to do that with Earth. They had the plan in process, the plan that had worked everywhere else they had been in the past. They abducted, kind of beamed aboard, maybe that's a better word, some people from all walks of life, doctors, lawyers, soldiers, bankers, whomever. They had singled them out and knew that they would be kind of a part of their plan, and they kind of fit the bill. And Earth was on a probationary status because of the history of violence that we've had in our past, all the killing and the wars. But the good people of the Earth, the lovers, the artists, the decent, kind, generous people changed their minds about really just the minority of bad people, the bullies, tyrants, and dictators, to where they agreed that we could be inducted into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. And so the process was in place. They were going to make contact. They were going to take a stretch of desert in the U.S. Southwest and turn it into an oasis overnight, which would have convinced people without a doubt that they existed and they're real. But guess what happened? 9/11. And then they brought him back on board the spaceship and said, "You people, are you going to destroy yourselves? You know, is this the direction you're headed? We give you a chance." And you blew it. And so they changed their minds about us. But I think they're still possibly going to give us another chance, I'm hoping. You know, because imagine if we did make contact with a superior race of extraterrestrials, and they'd be willing to share their technology with us, we could be like Star Trek. Everyone loves Star Trek. Well, we could be just like that, traveling through other star systems, to other star systems, meeting people here and there. We could know how to cure diseases, you know, cancer, the coronavirus. You know, if we made contact with them, they would say, "Okay, well, this is what you're doing wrong, you know, and this is how you change matter into this, and we'll help you do that." And next thing you know, would be disease-free. So, have you ever heard about the Verdants?
I haven't heard, per se. That term or that word is unfamiliar. However, the pattern, the type of contact is familiar. You know, there's many other civilizations, extraterrestrial civilizations who have been in contact with the Earth. And so, but for that word or that terminology, I haven't heard of them that way before.
You said, okay, you said your father was an Arcturian?
Yes.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Is that like a planet in the Milky Way galaxy or another galaxy? What constellation would that be in? Or, yeah, just give us some more information on that, if you would, please.
Yes, of course. Have you heard of the Arcturians before?
I had not. Maybe. I think I have, but I not much. Let me say that. So,
okay.
Are they? What do they look like?
Well, let's go back into depicting them in their essence first. So, Arcturians are a civilizations of extraterrestrial beings are extremely enlightened and advanced, both on the consciousness and on the technology level. They have reached a point of enlightenment and ascended state millions of years ago. They are very old, very ancient as a civilization. They are known to be one of the most enlightened civilizations that are in contact with the Earth for a very, very long time. And so Arcturians have been depicted in many ways. If you look in the sky and the Big Dipper, and then you look at the handle of the Big Dipper, and you follow the straight line, you will see a very bright star, and that's the Arcturus star within the Butes constellation. And this is where, you know, many of the planet, where many of our star system, Arcturus, come from. This is where the Arcturians come from. They have been in contact with the Earth for, oh my gosh, thousands and thousands, if not millions of years ago. And they are incredibly wise. They're great teachers. They're great master healer of the soul. They're very peaceful at the same time. They're very potent, very powerful. And you were describing a moment ago about this person, this author, writing about his experience going on board with a spaceship behind the moon and having dialogues and information from them. And, you know, as we move, as a civilization on the Earth, as we're moving into a state where we're reaching a tipping point of the light and we're reaching a tipping point of higher consciousness on the planet, we start to realize more and more that we have been assisted by so many others, like the Arcturians, many others enlightened civilizations who have been helping us heal, grow, break the paradigm of illusionary structure has been kept put in place by other factions. And if you look to see, you know, the way the human race has evolved, and you mentioned war and other conflict, we always invite to see what is truly behind those conflicts. It is not necessarily human by design, because the human race was designed to be a peaceful race. And then if you look at the true history of the Earth in terms of, you know, the many contact, who came, what civilizations has been implanted on the planet, and behind the scene, who is really running the show, so to speak, you're going to start to realize that this is not just a human conflict. It's much complex than that. And so what we're seeing on the planet is that human beings, people, are returning to claiming more of their true nature, and says these type of life, this type of structure, these type of way of, you know, abusing nature, abusing animals, abusing ourselves, discord, conflict, it is against our nature. This is not the way that resonates with the true nature of who we are here to express. And so there's tremendous changes in that sense. And so we're seeing also a lot of old structure, whether it's political, societal, religious factor, to these systems, to the collective consciousness. There's a lot of purging coming up. So assistants like with the Arcturians, who, like I mentioned, are beautiful masters. They have evolved through their own evolutionary process and understood that the sacredness of life is very sacred by the divine design. And to assist a planetary system or a planet in the midst of such a huge conscious evolution, on the midst of attaining a higher level where ascension is getting possible for all of us. And they understand that the process is very, very sacred. So the kind of assistance we're getting in terms of teaching, healing, in terms of inquiring more life structure on the planet, you know, helping to remove negative influences and so forth. So it's a lot more deeper than sometimes it seems. And it gets, of course, it's easier to get caught in the storylines, the influence of the media, social media, you know, press, radio, news, where we read online videos and all of it. It's just there's the invitation that we have is to use a much higher level of discernment connected with the higher heart to be able to pull the weeds out of the truth, and so that we can understand what is really happening on the planet right now and where we're moving into. So these are really powerful times that we're in. And so being connected to your truth and always stay in alignment of the light and says, I'm going to make a discernment and I'm going to make different choices. I choose differently. I choose to, you know, invest my energy, invest my power, invest of my light in an aspect that helps heal and reveal what is going on so it can be healed and purged, and so we can move on significantly in our lives. So we are in a very, very strategic time, if you want to say it this way. Does that make sense?
Yes. Vivian, do you think we will make contact with extraterrestrials so that everybody knows within our lifetimes?
Oh, that's a beautiful question, Blake. And the answer is that contact has already been made. It's already here. It's been here for thousands of years, if not more. So contact is already made. So that portion, it's check on the list. It's done. And if you look at how many people, experiencers, starseeds, hybrids, light workers, people from different backgrounds, who are coming forth more and more and saying, well, in my bloodline, you know, my great-grandmother used to have contact, or when I was a child, I was having those communication with those beings who come to me. There's so many people around the world who have come forth with courage to share their story. It's just to show that we have such a much deeper heritage. Even to the human civilization, we have a much deeper heritage. If you look at the Native American tribes, bless them, you know, their oral tradition of on the reservation with their elders, the star people, as they call them, it's part of their tradition. It's natural. It's something that is passed on from generation to generation. You know, even in your tradition, if you look at Hopi, for example, when you do the Kachina dance, the Kachina are in honor of the star people and the ancestors that comes from the stars. And I have witnessed that the Kachina dance on several times, being right there in their village, and the dancer come and they depict their connection to their ancestral lineage. It's amazing. It's, you can tell how sacred it is. So this is a very long version of saying, of course it is. It's a yes. At the same time, making contact, that term itself, Blake, has changed in connotation. It changes in meaning. What does it mean today to be in contact with what we call our star brothers and sisters? Of course, the enlightened ones, those who are in alignment, have evolved consciously, not just technology. Because that's technology, any civilization can reach it, doesn't mean they're evolved. It's just a portion of the equation. You have to see, are you evolved consciously? And then from there, learning from each other. But that's been established on the planet for so, so long. I mean, there's even report of some tribe in Africa that, again, from oral tradition, pass on information about their ancestors being in contact with different races of coming to help them understand agriculture, you know, understanding geometry, understanding astrology, astronomy, I mean, and so forth. and those traditions are passed down from the elders down to the next generation. You know, the earth is rich in sacred monuments, sacred symbols, you know, that shows that we are part of a much more vast galactic network, galactic family, than is part of our heritage here. And you, I'm pretty sure, Blake, with your show and you talk with various people and you listen and with your, you know, your audience, you must have noticed that this is something that is getting much more, you know, predominant, something that is much more coming more normal in people's lives because it's been part of the Earth history for such a long time, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Do you know Dr. Stephen Greer?
Yes, I have. I have met him before.
Wow. I just saw the movie Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind the other day. And
oh, yeah.
That's kind of touched on a little bit of what you were talking about in regard to higher consciousness being developed here on Earth by people, you know, having the courage, which you also mentioned, to reach out to the stars out there and invite, which are actually suns, right, solar systems in and of themselves, and invite them to come into your life, to appear before you, to make themselves present. And that is like one of the next steps in our evolution. The same old day-to-day existence can't go on forever. We've seen that in the COVID-19 situation. I don't know if that was initiated by the creator of this world to help us to take that step to where we need to be, to get away from the hostile past that we had, all of us, you know, we're all connected, but to move into a future where we are more peaceful and hopefully one day to live amongst each other in peace. It's not impossible, right? What do you think?
Yes, it is. Not only it is possible, it's attainable, this is also our birthright. And allow me to go back to Dr. Stephen Greer for a moment. I took one of his training in terms of becoming a cosmic ambassador. What I love about it is really bridging from a state of high awareness, bridging ourselves with connecting with advanced enlightened beings who have also reached that point where we are at, or have reached a point where they are more unified in within their civilizations, were more unified in terms of respecting a soul evolution and to be able encouraging one another to evolve and reach a higher potential. And that form of bridging through higher consciousness, this is really the way to commune with our brothers and sisters of the stars who are enlightened in advance on the spiritual and awareness consciousness level. That so I really resonate with that kind of teaching because I apply that too into my life, connecting with my star family, being a blend, being a part of them. So connecting back to your statement, Blake, is very paramount because what we're doing now is that we are reawakening to say, wait a minute, the generations before us, the star seed or volunteers who've come on the planet, the pioneers before us, have opened the way and now we are taking it over. And we're saying we are reclaiming our birthright as divine being of this unified universe and this creation, like you mentioned, this vastness that represent omnipresence, omnipotence, supreme intelligence that we are a part of. And we are going back in terms of creating an environment, a world where boundaries are redefined, where we're no longer pointing each other by the differences of belief systems, societal archetypes, patterns that have been imprinted from childhood, and also, you know, other form of religion beliefs or any form of beliefs are very limited and divided, divide us and divide people worldwide. So we are going back into forming a new network of people and also recognizing one another through I see you and you see me, because I see the light in you and you see the light in me, and I can see that you are reflective of, we are reflective of each other. At the same time, I recognize your uniqueness as you recognize in mine, and we are anchoring those frequency, those uniqueness of light onto the planet and in the collective consciousness to build a world, to build an environment where we also going back into the sacredness of life, sentient life form, the earth herself, nature, the oceans, animals, returning to be able to live in harmony with animals as opposed to recreating a paradigm of oppression, fear, suffering that has been passed on from generation by other faction. Because as the light grow, we also purging the density, and they are more darker beings, darker, you know, ETs who have more they have selfish, more self-centered agenda that just self work for what they need for themselves, that feed off of that fear, that feed off of the oppression, that feed off of that a paradigm of, you know, suffering and slavery. So we're moving, we're tremendously really moving into a paradigm where we're reclaiming who we are, and we says we no longer abide by what has been pushed onto us out of program. So that yes to the answer is more than ever very potent, and when you feel the energy, it encore that new reality onto the earth, because we're moving, we're pushing out this other three-dimensional structure of linear time that's not even no longer in sync with nature and the pulse of nature. So we can tell even to the timeline that we are realigning ourselves to live a lot more in harmony with our true nature and also what the concept of time is, as opposed to, you know, fabricated three-dimensional time where we have to abide and we have to be at work at certain time. You come back and then you have to eat at night, a little bit of TV time, you go to bed and you start again. It's almost like being in a loop that repeats itself. So we're moving beyond that. We're re-challenging the structures to implement structures of light that says, this is who we are. This is what we've come to accomplish. And the more we are unified, and also the more the family or humanity is waking up in taking their power to the heart center, this is very much where we are moving in a direction. So right now, I know we're going to major global crisis. I know we're going to, you know, a very huge contractive wave globally. But I can tell you that, like in everything in the universe, there's always a counterpart to it. So what does it mean? As we're going into contraction, that means there's going to be a huge wave of expansion coming through. And that wave is coming through on the planet very, very swiftly, and especially as we move into September and then moving into the equinox of fall.
There's one of my favorite books. I've been talking about it on previous shows, and it's about a race of extraterrestrials that live on a planet called Thiaouba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A. And this man, Michael Desmarquette, who was French, did you know him, Michael Desmarquette?
I do not.
Well, he passed away in 18, but this is my favorite book of all time, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. I think it's also called now Thayuba, the Golden Planet. And he was taken to their planet, which is in our Milky Way galaxy, for 10 days on board their spaceship, which could travel interdimensionally, so several times the speed of light, a circular spaceship about 70 meters in diameter, and these are hermaphrodite extraterrestrials about 9 feet tall, male and female, you know, like transgender, extremely intelligent, taken to their planet. And they told him that the universe is divided up into categories of planets. Planet Earth is a category one, which means it's at the lowest level of evolution, where the highest is category nine, which is like heaven almost, heaven on Earth. I mean, like a planet, a material planet, but it has that kind of heaven-like quality to it, if you know what I mean. The colors are so intense. Everything's pure. There is no pollution. It's a beautiful world. And so they told him that in the beginning, there was darkness and silence and the spirit. And the spirit decided to create everything that there was to be. He imagined he, she, because the creator is both male and female, all that there will be, all the planets, the moons, everything. And then by the force of his or her will, initiated the greatest explosion of all time, the Big Bang, and the universe began to form itself. And I was saying in the show before you joined, I don't know if you were listening, but that after that huge explosion, when the universe began to form itself, the first solar system was created, and then one after the other, and then the galaxy was formed, the first galaxy was formed, and then another galaxy began to get created with one solar system after another, and here we are on the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, 15.7 billion light years from the center of the universe. There are other solar systems out there beyond us, you know, farther away from the sun, as well as the edges of infinite space, which are constantly expanding and accelerating too. So he said that the Supreme Creator is a spirit. In accordance with the Supreme Creator's plans, there would be co-creator gods for each solar system who would have, like, the command of the solar system. And without going into that, what do you think about the concept of there being a Supreme Creator? Because I've also heard that the Supreme Creator of everything, which is different than the co-creator gods that I believe are on the suns of each solar system, mother and father, gods, that the Supreme Creator does not have a face. The Supreme Creator is an energy which is so powerful, it's beyond comprehension. It's like, she is like magic, omniscient, right? So has knowledge that is infinite. What, do you agree with that concept of the creator of the universe?
Oh, that's beautifully said, Blake, and I want to thank you for sharing this personal experience of the Golden Planet and how they explain the division into creation and different solar systems, which is the case of different quadrant throughout the universe and contain different planet and solar system and so forth. In terms to answer your question directly, that yes, we do abide by the Supreme Creator. That's omnipresence, omnipotence, supreme intelligence that is expressed in everything, in every particle of life, every particle of throughout creation. And if you look at the way creation itself has also form of sub-expression, like you mentioned with the Big Bang and all other that. But there's also sub-division, if you want, or sub-creation to when you go like to the beyond, and then you have the physical creation here what's called the blue creation. It's everything that evolves within the physical form of the physicality. And then you move from the physicality to the blue creation.
Okay. Yes, Vivian,
excuse me
for interrupting you. We're going to have to cut it off. We've got less than a minute now. I was wondering if you would take us out in about 45 seconds. Could you just say a prayer and end the show in a way that is in accordance with what you believe in, you know, a prayer, if you believe
of course,
in prayers?
With pleasure. Yes?
Perfect. Yes, go ahead. Thank about 30 seconds left. Please.
Okay. So we just bring Supreme Intelligence into your center to heal and balance yourself. May the truth be revealed to you from the realm of illumined truth. May you always follow your heart and the connections that you're representing all there is within you at all times. So we thank you for being of service to the planet and beyond. You are cherished beyond words. And so it is.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Everything was beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Vivian. Last name again, please.
Chauvet.
I'm sorry. And her website is www.infinitehealingfromthestars. Thank you, Vivian, so much for being on my show. And I'll be in touch with you soon to
it
just
be
talk
my
about
pleasure. Thank you, Blake.
So, thank you. Take care.
Yes. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.